It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Hopefully your day is going well. We've got our phone lines open as always, 946-0435. Here in a few minutes, we're going to go on down to Georgia. Talk to a reporter who covers the SEC. And we're going to compare the Big Ten with the big bad SEC. My buddy Luke Hetrick, former intern boy on the show more than 10 years ago. He is a reporter down at a TV station in Georgia, so he's going to join me here. Luke's from Boiling Springs, family lives in Hollidaysburg. He went to St. Francis, so he knows all about Penn State. He knows all about the Big Ten, but he lives now and works in SEC country, has covered Georgia. Knows all about the behemoths down there. So I'm going to get Luke's perspective on comparing the Big Ten versus the SEC. This has been really, and it's been going on for a couple weeks, and it's going to continue to go on for the rest of the college football season. This fascinating debate about the Big Ten versus the SEC, strength of schedule, one league beating itself up all the time versus another league having teams that don't have difficult schedules, including Penn State. Penn State still does not have a single really high-quality win on its resume, but is the number four team in the college football playoff rankings. If the season ended today, this is what's great. This is what's amazing. I advocated for this in the Altoona Mirror a few weeks ago. Neil Riddell and I wrote point-counterpoint columns on what we would like to see in the college football playoff, and I said, I want to see Georgia. Well, as it stands right now, if the season ended today, current seedings and everything in place, Penn State would host Georgia in the first round of the college football playoff around what December, make sure I keep looking, think it's December 20th or 21st. It's the 21st. Saturday is the 21st. So you'd have national power, several time national champion Georgia against Penn State, which is still looking for a quality win. James Franklin trying to get the monkey off his back of winning big games. So we're going to get into all that here. If you have any thoughts on it, you want to join in our conversation before we get to our guest down in Georgia, 946-0435, because the conversation goes basically like this. SEC bias, they get the benefit of the doubt all the time, generally, but they're not really getting it this year because you've got Penn State number four in the rankings. Indiana, which is undefeated with one of the worst schedules in the history of Power Conference football, but they're undefeated. What means more to you? This is a tricky question. This is a slippery slope question. What means more to you, being undefeated? Or maybe you've got a loss even two, but you've played really good competition and you've beaten some good teams. Penn State's not undefeated. They've got one loss. Played Ohio State very well, passed the eye test, earned some legitimacy. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Okay, so I'm debating what I'm going to do here because name just popped up on my board here that says Andy. And I don't know if Andy heard this the other day. But I banned Andy for calling in 3 days ago and accusing me of some complete garbage. So I'm debating here. Andy's called for a long time. I've given Andy a lot of leeway. Not a lot offends me Andy, before I let you talk, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you one opportunity here. You ever accuse me of stuff like you did on the show the other day, and you will be banned permanently. I'm going to give you a chance here. Do not call up here and accuse me of things, putting words into my mouth. You understand what I'm telling you?
Yeah, but you did say that before.
I've never said the words that you said. I've never remotely said that I am against women's sports or against women's sports journalists. So repeat it one more time and you're done. You got anything else you want to talk about? All right, very good. Thanks. Okay, well, I gave Andy a shot. I'm a nice guy. 946-0435. But the way it goes is the SEC has generally gotten the benefit of the doubt in these discussions. But this year, you've got Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Ole Miss. They're all ranked behind Penn State and Indiana. Penn State and Indiana have beaten no one. The SEC, they've beaten themselves up. But Alabama also lost to Vanderbilt, for crying out loud. Ole Miss lost to, what, Kentucky. So the leg that the SEC wants to stand on is we're playing much better competition. We're beating ourselves up. You're playing nobody. But the problem is some of these teams are losing highly, highly questionable games. And that's where you bring in the question of how much do losses matter? I've always said I think losses matter a ton, and you have the sanctity of the college football regular season was great because every game matters more than in any other sport. Absolutely more than in football. Baseball, you play 162 games. Hockey, you play a ton of games. NBA, you play a ton of games. There's no sport in our country where every game matters more than college football. But the problem is the games matter less now with a 12-team playoff. This is why I was against a 12-team playoff all along, but this is why the 12-team playoff, I'm absolutely 1,000,000,000% certain, is going to expand before too long, and it's going to become even a bigger joke when it gets to 16, because, hell, we might have a four-loss team in the mix at some point for a playoff spot. So how do we judge if you've lost a game? Like Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Tennessee, they've lost two games apiece. Does anybody out there think Indiana could beat any of those teams? Indiana's schedule is complete and total garbage, but they're undefeated. Do we reward a team for being undefeated when we know every football fan alive knows Indiana's not real good? Not compared to the rest of these teams. So Indiana's got Ohio State this week. We'll find out, and that'll be their shot. Clarkster, what's going on, man?
Well, you'll know by noon on Saturday. You know, that's when the game is scheduled, I think.
Exactly. And then the Indiana's got a shot to prove me and everybody else wrong.
Okay. The polls are basically teaser polls because Penn State is at 4, but they're going to fall. They're going to fall to
6.
Probably.
At least 2, you know, because you've got two teams out. The top four seeds, two of those teams have to be conference champions from the ACC and the Big 12, well, and those teams are ranked below Penn State now.
Yeah, how do you put Boise State as a bye team?
Because you would.
Well, that's because what they agree to.
Exactly, exactly.
But they're going to be teaser polls. And the remedy will be, okay, we're going to go to 16. I mean, that's what's coming. I mean, that's the even number that's out there. You know it's going to go to 16. But Penn State, let's suppose Indiana beats Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to push Penn State down even further.
Indiana would then jump Penn State to number 4.
And Ohio State would head of Penn State.
No, they wouldn't, because that'd be their second loss. And so even though Ohio State beat Penn State, they would be behind Penn State in the rankings. I feel pretty comfortable.
Ohio State's got quality losses.
If Ohio State loses at home to Indiana, it will drop below Penn State.
Our two quality losses worth more than no quality wins.
Right, and therein lies the question. What do you think? I mean, I've got opinions on it. I think we're facing the eye test here, placing a lot of this on the eye test, and we're hoping that the committee, these people who are supposed to be experts watching these games, can differentiate it for us, but I think they're wrong. I just think they're flat wrong to think that Indiana is better than a lot of these teams that they're ranked ahead of.
Well, that's because they got the zero on the right side of the ledger.
Sure.
There.
I mean, yep.
That's what it comes down to. It's the same thing with BYU, you know, zero losses until last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff. But it, you know, it always was. It's basically four automatic bids and then eight at large is what it comes down to. And then it's going to be who the battle is between the 8th, 9th, and 10th team.
Here's it's a battle between the human beings in the room and
right.
what biases they are going to bring to their discussion.
Well let's see the list of guys in the room and what conferences.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be safeguards against, you know, teams from your own conference, that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day,
yeah.
We are relying on these people to determine which teams are the best teams. And it's going to be very difficult to do when you've got all of these really good SEC teams with two. What do you do with an SEC team that goes to the conference championship game and loses? Maybe that's a third loss. Do they get left out? Because this is going to be a gigantic issue in college football. It's just started the last week or so about these conference championships. See, conference championship games are important because they make a ton of money. They make a ton of money for everybody. But if going to a conference championship game knocks you out of a playoff that you already would have been in without it, who wants that?
Well, first of all, the polls every week are human, you know, failings there and everything. Like you're suggesting, Indiana is ranked higher, you know, than an SEC team that they're complaining about, that they haven't. Indiana's schedule is probably as bad or worse than Penn State's.
It's worse. So it's five times worse. Indiana's like 110th in strength of schedule. Penn State's at least 30th or something.
Yeah, I thought I saw 52 or something like that. Georgia is number one, isn't it?
Yes, but they've got two losses.
So there's the quality losses versus the no quality wins.
But Georgia, what all this comes down to is these programs are not going to want to schedule anybody ever. We talked about this for years. Penn State at least scheduled West Virginia. Penn State has been to Auburn the past couple of years. You know, I'm telling you, this notion, Indiana, what Indiana's doing is proof in the pudding that if Penn State schedules St. Francis, Villanova, and the school for Eastern Pennsylvania blind and beats them, they will not be penalized.
I think St. Francis has got Penn State's Google tonight, but that's another story. But the schedules were made up how far in advance.
I'm just telling you that these schedules are going to be done.
I have no idea.
These teams will never want to play anybody ever again. I'm going to take one more call here. Thanks, Clark, sir. Before our guest, we got Eric in Altoona. What's going on, Eric? How you doing?
Oh, good, Corey. I don't beat someone up over their conference schedule because they don't have control of that.
Correct.
I'll beat them up over their non-con because that they do. How many teams on Indiana's schedule? And I'm not saying they're better. I agree. The SEC teams, we all know it just means more. I was wondering a couple things. First off, if I'm looking forward to Ohio State, Oregon again, assuming that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
If Ohio State pounds them, because I think they'll beat them. Oregon's got the bigger travel. It's basically Ohio State home game west. What if they would trounce them by a couple, say, three scores or something? Do you think Oregon would drop below Penn State if Penn State holds up to their end of winning out fairly easily?
That's a really good question. I mean, when Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0 10 years ago, that changed our entire perception of things. But keep in mind what we're talking about here, Eric. If Oregon gets penalized that much by getting to its conference championship game, you see what I'm getting at. Why would any team ever want to go to a conference championship game again? Because if Oregon, you know, I don't think Ohio State's going to beat Oregon by 17 or more points. As long as Oregon's within 14 points, I think Oregon should, my opinion, should stay ahead of Penn State, because Penn State, again, still will have beaten nobody. Oregon will still have at least beaten Ohio State once.
Okay. And then the other thing is, I know we're all kind of excited about Southern teams having to come to the North, but at the quality of some of them teams versus the quality of some of the Big Ten teams, do you really think a 30-degree day is going to make that much difference on the field?
I think it would. I do.
If they're closer to equal in talent.
Which I don't think it would make that much of a difference against Georgia, okay? Georgia, I mean, Georgia's got NFL players everywhere. Alabama, I don't think it'd make as much. I do think it'd make a difference against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is one of those finesse kind of fast-paced tempo programs. I think Ole Miss would have a tougher time coming up here than Georgia or Alabama.
Okay, good show.
All right, very good. Appreciate it. Good discussion. We're going to take one more go to Los Angeles. My buddy Lionel out there in L.A. What's going on, dude? How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going, Corey?
All right, what's up, buddy?
Just wanted to talk to you a little bit about the college football playoffs. So, yeah, I played ball at Tulane back in the day, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on them running the table. Obviously, they beat Navy 35-0 in Annapolis this weekend. And then what if they beat the breaks off of Army in the conference championship game? So I do think there is a way that they get in. They would have two losses. One, they should have beat Kansas State, and then they lost to Oklahoma. But I do think there's a chance, especially if Boise State gets a bye week, that Tulane sneaks in there and gets in the playoff.
It'd be fascinating.
I'll take the talk.
When did you play there, my man?
It was from 01 to 05, right through the Katrina year, actually.
Oh, wow. What position did you play?
Corner receiver. I didn't really get a chance to play that much. The coach that recruited me left before I got there, but it was cool. It was a good experience.
You were there in practice every day. I'm looking at Tulane. Yeah. They lost to K-State by 7, lost to OU, Oklahoma by 15, but then they've won out since then. They got a nice record. They got a nice team. That's one of those smaller schools that you think they're just hoping for a shot against somebody. I don't know that they would knock off anybody if they were to get in, but I mean, they're sitting here at 9-2 and they've got, I guess they've got about as good of a shot as any of those smaller teams. They're in first place. So, I'm trying to look where they are in the rankings here to see if they have much of a shot.
They're like around 20.
Yeah. So they might need some chaos. Like from a Boise, they might need like Boise to lose. They definitely need Boise to lose, and they're also behind Army as well.
I think Army will lose to Notre Dame this Saturday.
Yeah,
too,
right.
But
I think
Tulane will beat them in the conference championship.
Excellent, man. Good stuff. Appreciate you calling in, buddy. All right, 946-0435. Let's head down to Georgia. Talk some SEC versus Big Ten after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
ABC Tonight, country music's biggest night, the CMA Awards.
Let's party, Nashville!
Kicks off with this year's must-see collaboration.
Post Malone featuring Chris Stapleton, live.
With electrifying performances by Lainey Wilson, Shaboozy, Ashley McBride, Luke Bryan, plus Thomas Rhett and Teddy Swims.
Woo!
Luke Bryan, Peyton Manning, and Lainey Wilson host the CMA Awards, live tonight, 8, 7 Central on ABC, and stream next day on Hulu.
When you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's technology makes finding qualified candidates for your job easy. What if the rest of the world was as easy as ZipRecruiter? Math problems wouldn't be so problematic.
K equals 42.
And summiting Everest would be a walk in the park. In the meantime, if you want to make your hiring easier, use ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
All right, let's head on down to Georgia. My good buddy Luke Hetrick, with the ABC affiliate down there, covers Georgia. He's in SEC territory, but he's a Pennsylvania boy with a Pennsylvania heart, Boiling Springs heart, St. Francis heart. What's going on, my man? How you doing?
I like the playback music, a little blues traveler.
That's right.
Talk the red and black, man.
Suck it in. If you're in Tintin or in Berlin, the dumbest song ever.
You would never do that to karaoke because there's too much of a gap in it.
Well, right? You have to know the lyrics are so tricky, and you got to go so fast. But it's one of the kookiest songs ever.
It's a kooky song, and as I've learned from you time after time, the hardest song to sing in karaoke is?
It's a high note song. I don't know. What is it?
I was going to say it's American Pie.
Oh, hey, I can sing American. I can do that. It's 8.5 minutes. I know every damn word.
I know you can. You've also lectured me for years. It's an incredibly hard song.
It is a hard song. You know what? So the whole country is swept up, Luke, in this SEC Big Ten strength of schedule. Mine's bigger than yours. You haven't played anybody. We've played people, but we've lost. What's your take on Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss? They're beating the hell out of each other, man. They're playing tough people. Indiana's played nobody. Penn State hasn't beaten anybody yet. But Alabama lost to Vandy. Georgia lost to, Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. So how do we decide who's a better team or not?
You don't. Like, you have it in the playoff, and you'll figure it out from there. Look, you're looking for a perfect solution in a completely imperfect sport. The model that it's based on right now is just an expanded version, not even an expanded, but of the NFL playoff format. Your division winners, which are your conference winners, and that's fine if you have a sport that has true parity and equal opportunity, which the NFL does, because every year, if you're a fourth place team, you're going to play a fourth place schedule to try and balance it out. There's a draft. There's a salary cap. College football has none of that. And just to remind everyone in the SEC and the Big Ten who are now complaining of, why does Boise State get a bye? Why does potentially Colorado or Miami, a two-loss ACC team, whatever it may be, because you guys signed off on that. You were the ones that agreed to a first-round bye for the conference championship.
That's a great point, but you know what? Yeah. This is,
Money talks, Corey.
James Franklin's been saying this a lot. They go into these agreements and these rule changes, and they don't think it through. You think that these things are run by smart people who can think of cause and effect, and this might happen, and this might happen, and this might happen. But here we are yet again in college sports where we've entered into this agreement, as you rightly put, and nobody seems to be prepared for this chaos. Why didn't they think of all this?
Well, it's the same thing of, if we just expand it, it'll make a lot of the problems go away. We won't have an undefeated Florida State team getting left out. 2016, well, that Penn State team that finished the year red hot, beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten, well, they got left out, but they played a really hard schedule. But Washington did. Like, we'll just add more teams and give more opportunity. That'll create less problems. But no. Like, less is more here in this situation. And all it did was just magnify. It changed how many teams get in. It didn't change the thought process, and it clearly hasn't changed the criteria, because every week you have someone sitting here going, well, strength of schedule should be priority number one. Well, no, your record should be number – well, now it's the conference that you're in, and this whole conference bye thing is just messed up. The criteria was never set, and that's why you have people wondering, like Georgia – who has three top 25 wins against Clemson, probably has the best winning college football, going to Texas and winning by two scores, and it wasn't that close, and then beating a Tennessee team primetime at home. Well, they're going, strength of schedule-wise, we got number one in the country. We're 3-2 against the top 25. We've done that. But then you're looking at other people like Indiana, a Penn State. Is it the record? Is it just winning? Is it not having a quality loss? Is it happy? So we have never been told clearly what the number one criteria is year after year. It changes from year to year.
Because they're human beings making the decisions. We've had, and Luke's a huge college basketball fan, as am I, and we deal with this on Selection Sunday all the time in college basketball. In your opinion specifically, how do you weigh good wins by some of those teams versus who was Georgia's other loss to? South Carolina?
Georgia's losses are to Alabama and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, that's
Alabama,
right.
Alabama
right.
by a touchdown late, in which everyone was like, wow, they looked really good.
Yeah, well, Georgia, after a bad start, they were down 28-0. They came back, and they were leading at the end. I mean, that.
But then their other losses, they lost by three scores at Ole Miss, where they got manhandled.
But Ole Miss lost to Kentucky.
Yeah,
and Alabama beats Georgia, but loses to Vandy. So, in your opinion, what matters most? This is just you. What matters most? Playing tough people, getting some great wins, but slipping up a couple times, or being undefeated or one loss, but you really don't have a whole lot on your resume to point to?
It's a great question. It really is a great question, because part of me, you know, and I don't have an answer for it, Corey. I really don't, because part of me wants to lean in to quality wins and strength of schedule and everything, but it goes back to that imperfect science that we're talking about, where, like, you look at a team like – you look at Indiana. Again, if you hand me that schedule August 25th, a week before the season starts, and tell me Indiana going into Ohio State is going to be 10-0, which would include wins over the two teams that played in the national title game a year ago, and then going to Ohio State and beating some new Big Ten teams, I would have said, oh, my God, I'll take Indiana. Absolutely. They'll be not – and now we're having the schedule debate, and now we're having the conversation about it. So for me, I don't know. I don't know what I value more, because it changes year in and year out. But I would probably lean towards – the quality wins, because you're going to have to beat really good teams in the playoff. You're going to have to prove it, that you can win 3-4 games against not cupcakes. Now, talk about the 5-12 and whoever's, you know, the ACC, Big 12, Mountain West representative. All right, that's fine, but you're still going to have to beat these really good teams. So I would probably lean towards that, but I don't blame Indiana for being 10-0 and not playing anyone, because for me, and this is where I'll go off on my, you know, it's always sunny in Philadelphia, Charlie pointing at the conspiracy theory board tangent. Indiana and Texas, there's not much difference. we're blaming Texas for beating nobody when their schedule that was made mostly years out by agreeing to play Michigan, who just made three straight college football playoffs, won a national title. And now that win is like, well, that's disgusting. That doesn't matter at all. And then their other hard game, they get embarrassed at home by Georgia. But it's Texas, and they're the third best team in the country.
See, that's that. There's the thing.
90% chance of getting in.
And that's where the human element comes into play, yeah. And the eye test. Texas has a bunch of NFL players. Texas has got NFL dudes everywhere. Indiana doesn't. Okay. And so this is where, you know, sometimes the math doesn't math, you know, and sometimes we look for criteria to try to explain scientifically. Sometimes we just know Texas has way better players than Indiana, right? I mean, because everybody keeps saying Texas, and I agree. Their resume is not great, not looking back on it anyway. But I look at Texas, and I'm like, they got so many good players. They pass the eye test. Indiana doesn't pass the eye test.
Why doesn't Indiana pass the eye test is my question.
Well, because their schedule, they literally beat nobody. I mean, at least Texas.
Okay, whoa. There's a difference here, and this is the fun of the discussion. Indiana, to me, has more of a right to get in than and more benefit of the doubt than a Miami. Because Indiana, what do we always say when you play a weak schedule? What's the number one thing we always say? Well, if you play a weak schedule, we better dominate.
You better be blowing everybody out. Right. And Miami has not done that. You're right. Miami's not done. Indiana has.
And the number one thing you ask is blow everyone out. Indiana's margin of victory is 30 points per game. Miami needed, you know, and Miami's, in, you know, ranked 8. They're the ACC front runner right now. But they're in front of Ole Miss and Georgia. Miami, you know, the loss against Georgia Tech is what it is. Georgia Tech's a lot better than people think. But then you're looking at you survive against Cal, against Louisville, against Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. You look horrible against Duke at home.
Yep.
Until the so it's one of those things. Miami is a brand. Texas is a brand. Notre Dame, who has the worst loss of anyone in the top 10, that gets the benefit of the doubt over Indiana. So Indiana's done everything that's been asked of them so far. But it's still what we think is Indiana's lousy. We're going to find out how lousy Indiana is this week against Ohio.
What are you hoping for there? You hoping? Are we hoping the Indiana story kicks in and they lose by 7 or 10 and they get in? Or are we hoping that they get slapped around and lose by 20 and they're done?
You ask people below the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah, right.
They'll go with option B. I mean, what I'm hoping for is, you know, the Big Ten guy, you know, and sure, I'll have a little Big Ten bias here, is Indiana wins. But if they don't win, that's a brawl, that's a close game where if Ohio State, you know, wins at the end by a touchdown, a last second, whatever it may be, that we can go, oh, okay, because we hold Ohio State in such high regard because they have the best, and I'm putting this in quotes for the radio audience, loss. Losing by one at Oregon, mm-hmm. But then we say, oh, well, hey, they're benefit of the doubt. You know, they went into Penn State, won in Happy Valley, tough game, but then you flip that conversation around. It's, well, Penn State hasn't beaten anyone. Penn State's nothing. You know, they lost their one tough game. So it's just this for the Big Ten. You need Indiana to either win or have that game be really close to
– right.
Change any type of narrative.
And
that
that's where Ohio State can totally screw the rest of the Big Ten. You know that?
Absolutely.
Ohio State could screw the Big Ten badly by beating Indiana by 24 points. If Ohio State just takes it a little easy. Hey, I Luke Ketrick from ABC affiliate down in Atlanta. As of right now, if the season ended today, Georgia would come up here to play Penn State on December 21st. You've covered Georgia. You've been around the program. You've been around Kirby Smart. What would a Georgia and I got to say at. This isn't a neutral field. What would a Georgia at Penn State game look like on December 21st? Let's assume it's 40 to 45 degrees. Some Christmas is up here at 60 degrees. We've had it happen.
Yeah, but let's
assume it's 40 to 45 degrees. It's cold. A Southern team coming up. Would that impact Georgia? Carson Beck throws a whole bunch of interceptions. You know, that we hear Georgia doesn't have great wide receivers. Is ATN going to be fully healthy? What would a Georgia at Penn State matchup look like, Luke?
Yeah, and for the audience here, I'm going to assume that their assumption of this is going to be guy covers Georgia. He's going to go, well, Georgia's great. Georgia's won two national titles in the last 3 years. You know, we're a bad quarter away from Alabama from probably making it three, blah, blah, blah. That Georgia's just going to come up there and steamroll them. I'm not going to go that far, but I am going to say that I think Georgia just controls that game. You know, it is about matchups, and we always talk about this. Georgia has superior athletes to Penn State. Penn State's biggest problem is their lack of skill on the perimeter. Georgia would make that game ugly. Now, Penn State would be able defensively, probably, in my opinion, to hang around for a little bit, but that would be a Georgia cover. I looked at the line right now. The projected line would be Georgia -1.5. So you get 2.5 points, 3 points are just being at home. So they're saying we wouldn't be shocked.
So when you say Georgia would control the game, do you mean the lines of scrimmage on both sides physically? How do you see that?
Yeah, I think Georgia would just make it really, really hard for Penn State. I think it would be an extension of the Ohio State game. You know, Penn State matches up well with Ohio State. They do, you know, typically from the athlete front.
Does Georgia play more like Ohio State or Michigan?
Georgia plays more like Ohio State because they've had to with a bad offensive line this year. And it's a bad offensive line, not because of talent, but because of injury. And what people will think with that is, oh my gosh, Penn State with a good defensive front with Abdul Carter, Denai Dennis Sutton, Vanover, they should be able to tee off on them. Well, that was your opportunity against a weak Ohio State offensive line. Again, weak in air quotes.
Right.
And outside of a couple Abdul Carter sacks, Ohio State was able to control the line of scrimmage in that game from an offensive line standpoint. So Georgia's best offensive lineman, Tate Ratledge, is now getting healthier. He's missed some time. He's had a bad ankle injury. They've had some shifts, but they got a lot of experience. And so that's where I think Georgia would control the game. Their lack of depth at running back would be a huge concern, but I think that would be a game where I wouldn't expect it to be in the 30s and 40s. But I think that would be a under 30 game. Georgia would control, probably win by 10 plus.
Now, I don't really disagree with anything you're talking.
I'm wrong on that. I am. As a Penn State fan, I hope I'm wrong. But I haven't seen enough to change my opinion that Penn State, from a receiver standpoint, can get separation against Georgia, whose weak spot is their cornerback play defensively. But they've gotten better late in the season. Tennessee was not able to throw down the field. I don't think Penn State will.
And again, I wouldn't disagree with anything you're talking about on a neutral field. But what about it's going to be a whiteout. They'll make it a whiteout. They'll, you know, if it's an afternoon, I guess it'll be a night game most likely. But it'll be a whiteout. It's going to be 110,000 people. It's going to be cold. Will any of you know the history of the whiteout? The whiteout can be worth a touchdown or more. You know, just on its own. So Does that change? Again, to me, Georgia versus Penn State on a neutral field, I'm taking Georgia 90 times out of 100. But at Beaver Stadium, I am a little more inclined to make it more like 60-40.
What, 60-40 that Georgia?
60-40 Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I would be more prone to agree with you had I not seen the history of the whiteout, which is an awesome atmosphere and environment. But it never really has had, outside of 2016, a major effect under James Franklin when you play a Michigan or Ohio State in those white. And I'm talking about good Michigan teams, not, you know, 2019 with, you know, Shea Patterson. I'm talking about national championship level teams, which Georgia is, even with that 8-2 record. So if Penn State were to, in the history of that program under James Franklin, secure a few more big-time wins against really quality national championship-level opponents in that whiteout, not a Illinois this year, a Minnesota a few years back, whatever it may be, an Auburn, a 6-6 Auburn team.
Washington this year, yep.
Yeah, Washington this year. Then I would be more more likely to agree that it would be more of a weapon. But again, Georgia's walked in to some incredible environments under Kirby Smart, and they have consistently been able to come out on top or at least be competitive. So I don't think it would be that much of a deterrent for them. The temperature change, I don't put a lot of stock into it because, you know, while it's 30 degrees maybe, it's still 40 degrees, 50 degrees, you know, low 40s down here. So I don't think it would make that much of a
difference. Would it make a bigger difference for Ole Miss?
Potentially, but I think we're looking at Ole Miss as just a finesse offense that runs up.
That's what I'm saying. To me, Georgia or Alabama coming up here, it's still a football. I think Ole Miss might have a little bit more trouble coming up here.
Well, yeah, and I would tend to agree with you, but what's the first thing you think of when you think of Ole Miss?
Yeah, finesse, fast-paced system offense, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we don't think of the fact that Ole Miss has maybe the best defensive line in college football and a top-five defense overall and has now learned to have a control game at quarterback with Jackson Dart, that it's not tempo, that there's more huddle and everything like that. So that is where, you know, I would say this Penn State program, and this is getting into now, where does Penn State stack up? Where's Penn State? They have done nothing really to change my perception that they're a 7-12 top program every year. And you get into the playoff here, you know, we could talk about matchups and who gets the buys, and if you want that 12-5 matchup to where you're playing Boise State and then BYU or Colorado, whatever it is, you know, do you want that? You're still going to have to beat really good teams. Unless James Franklin and this program are going in and beating a Georgia, an Alabama, an Oregon, a Texas, an Ohio State, not much is getting changed. We can say that they finally made the playoff, but it's not about making the playoff. It's about being a national championship level contender. Penn State is not that, in my estimation. I think they're a playoff contender and a team that can win a playoff game, depending on who that matchup is. But that's where they're at as a program right now. It doesn't matter who Georgia plays. Georgia can go in and win. Same with Oregon, Ohio State, Alabama. Penn State needs the right matchup. And to me, that's the mark of a program that's really good, but not at a national championship level yet.
Just so people are aware, this isn't some Southern – you're just such a Southern Homer, Georgia SEC mouthpiece. Luke is from Pennsylvania. Family lives here. Went to St. Francis. So that's why I value your –
By the way, just so everyone understands this, I have to hear Penn State slander all the time from people. So it's not like I'm, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid with that. This is with my own eyes.
Do you defend
Ohio State?
Do you defend Penn State down there? When people say, oh, Penn State's done nothing. Look, Penn State's really, really good. I don't think Penn State's
very, very good football.
But do you, so when people down there say, what's Penn State done? They're not even, do you at least have to defend them a little bit?
Yeah, because I think people do not get the full scope of what James Franklin has been able to do. I think this is a real thing in college football where you saw it with Florida State. You saw it with Florida a few years back. When you're mediocre for a while and you finally have some success, people are going to go, well, what's next? What's next? You got to go in advance. And Florida State's fallen off a cliff, and Florida keeps firing coaches every 3 to 4 years. You know, those are just two examples that I'm using. Penn State has been able to do, and it's not a fun reference, Corey, and you understand this, but is get to a point where they were better than before the scandal happened. Is you were winning 9 games a year, and it was nice. And you may beat Ohio State every other year, you know, every couple of years, and you had a couple of those 11-1 teams that were able to beat Ohio State with a Robinson or a Darryl Clark. So it was fun. But now you're at a point where you're consistently, outside of the 20 and 21 years, you're winning 10 games every year. You're in the, quote-unquote, New Year's 6 spot. That's a really good place for a program to do. And it was really hard for them to do it. There was a ton of uncertainty when everything went down in 2011 and 2012. You got the right coach for the 2-year period with Bill O'Brien to kind of smooth things out. And you got the right guy with James Franklin, who was recruiting very well, who was a very good CEO and was able to ride momentum of that 2016 season and parlay it into sustained success. There are hundreds of programs across this country that would change places with Penn State in a heartbeat. I understand the frustration of not beating Ohio State. Believe me, I do. It's 1-10. It stinks, but they're in a good spot. Hopefully, if the stars align properly in the next handful of years, they're able to elevate. But right now, you're stuck in this purgatory of we're a very good program. We're on the national radar, but we haven't done anything really for anyone to take us seriously these last 5-6 years since Saquon Barkley and Trey McSorley left.
Good stuff, man. Luke Hetrick, my hero, my sports media hero, buddy. I appreciate the time, dude.
Absolutely. And for all hate mail, please tweet me at LH Sports TV. Happy response.
What a homer. Thanks, man. Good stuff. Luke's the best. We'll step away for a break. Take some of your phone calls after this.
Joey Logano may be the 2024 NASCAR Cup Series champion, but there's still work to be done.
You know, as strong of a playoff run and the winning the three races in the playoffs, like, that's fantastic. But there's obviously a lot of areas that we can be better as a team. Like, we can't just relax now and say this is great. We definitely have to find some areas where we're weak, and I can pinpoint 3 or 4 of them right now that we need to go to work on. So we'll enjoy this, because championships are really hard to come by. So we need to celebrate and we need to have fun together and do all the parties and everything that comes along with it. Like, it's really special and it's really fun to do all that, but we can't forget next year's coming. And, the same weaknesses will be there if we don't address them. I don't know. I'm starting to believe in this stuff. I've always been Mr. Anti-Luck, Anti-Superstitions. I always do the opposite of what people say you should do. And when people say good luck, I say I don't need it. There's no such thing. And I don't know. I don't know what it, I don't believe it's luck. I still don't believe it's luck, but it is kind of weird that it's gone this way. I promise you I'll try hard next year, too. I don't understand it, though. Hopefully we break the streak next year. That'd be cool. I'd much rather break it by making the championship 4 on an odd year than missing it on an even year. So let's do it again next year.
This is the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
This Thanksgiving, Target makes hosting easy with our lowest prices of the season. Like Good & Gather Premium Turkey for 79 cents a pound and quality green beans for 55 cents. Or classic stovetop stuffing on sale for $1.99 and delicious favorite day apple or pumpkin pie for only $4.49. Plus, get unlimited same-day delivery with a free 14-day trial of Target Circle 360 to make planning even easier. Save more on hosting. Happier holidays from Target. Restrictions apply.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. We appreciate J.M. Boswell, our supporting sponsor each and every day. You're watching a football game, you're going hunting, fishing, whatever it is you're doing, head on over to J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, tobacco blends, anything that you're looking for. When you're there, tell them that you heard me talking about them on the little show here and how much we appreciate their support. 946-0435. We just had a great, great discussion. And that's the kind of guest that I really appreciate having, because you can watch the national shows and you can see the people from the Big Ten area and you can see the people from the SEC area and you can read all the Penn State beat writers you want, and they're going to come at it with a bias, and you can read all the SEC beat writers you want. Luke is perfectly positioned, being from up here, being a Penn State fan, but being in Atlanta covering Georgia. So that's a pretty darn good perspective. He said he thinks Georgia would control the game against Penn State. I do agree with that. I think Penn State would be in the game. I think it'd be a good game. Penn State's defense would have to play very, very well. I do still have concerns about Penn State's secondary being able to stop the pass, how Drew Aller would do against a really good defense in Georgia. So I would definitely take Georgia to win the game. But being at Beaver Stadium, that would be a very, very interesting component. Would they do a wideout? I don't know that I've heard or read much on that yet, and I could be wrong. If anybody has seen, you know, anything reported on, would the playout game be a whiteout? So you're talking about probably a night game, a whiteout. People keep talking about the colder temperatures, and that very well could come into play. But I do think a team like a Georgia, a Notre Dame, an Alabama, I think they would be able to handle the weather much better than, say, maybe a Miami, obviously. A Florida State last year, although Florida State really kind of fell apart. But an Ole Miss, I still would wonder if Ole Miss could handle coming up here playing in the weather. You know, Mississippi's a pretty warm place. I don't know what the temperature is down there. But you heard Luke say it's 40-something degrees in Georgia, you know, today. So they're probably more used to that than we may think. 946-0435, 946-0435. You want to weigh in on anything that we have discussed? Good discussion there. I will say this. When it comes to Indiana, Ohio State, I mentioned during that interview, Ohio State could really screw the Big Ten. Because if Ohio State barely beats Indiana, then Indiana gets into the playoff. If Ohio State lays a whooping on Indiana, which I think that it could, then it's going to knock Indiana out of the playoff. If that game is 17 points or more, Indiana's going to get knocked out of the playoff. Because they just simply, they won't have anything on their resume. Unless there's complete chaos in every other facet, there won't be anything on their resume to warrant being in a playoff. And if they lose badly. But if they go to a Columbus and lose by 10 points or less, yeah, that's probably enough. John in Altoona. What's going on, John? How you doing?
It's good to hear you, Corey. It's great to have this conversation. I'm just going to say that, like, the discussion about strength of schedule and stuff, they're never going to be the NFL. So too bad that the SEC beats the crap out of each other. Because if it's just about your schedule and it's just about your recruiting, then why would BYU and their team even want to be in the system? You got to open it to everybody. So the reality is, if you're in the SEC, you better win out. Otherwise, don't want to hear it. Now, also, who's going to win the SEC then? Who's going to be that championship?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say, to me, it's wide open right now. I really don't even know. Alabama, maybe? I don't know.
Well, and so that, you know, I thought, geez, when Alabama lost those games early, I'm thinking, this is great, they're finally falling down.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them is going to win, so, you know, they'll be in that bye. And you know what? I think you underestimate the home field advantage playing in late December up there. I think that game is going to be huge for the area, the region, hotels, just the vibe.
Yeah.
Who ever thought there'd be a playoff game in December 20th or 19th, or December 20th, 21st at Penn State? That's going to be awesome.
It would be. It would be special. And that, again, that would be, if they could make it a wideout and it's a night game, You know, but then again, here's the thing. Georgia's played at Alabama. Georgia's played at LSU. Georgia's played at Tennessee. Let's not get carried away to think that Penn State's the greatest environment in the history of the universe. I mean, there are other great environments in college football as well.
No, but you only get 3,500 tickets to this game. You're going to
That's right.
A huge throng.
Yep.
That's huge.
Yeah, it would be amazing. I'm going to sneak in one more call. Thanks, John. Appreciate the call, buddy. We got Bob in Altoona. You got one minute, Bob. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. Hey, Corey, I think you're overrating the Southern teams coming up here north. Bobby Bowden had a saying it's like putting a rabbit in a briar patch when the Northern teams go down and play in the heat.
It was a little different era, though. Teams didn't travel nationally as much back then. I mean, let's keep in mind, these Georgia guys, they got 20 guys going to the NFL. They've probably played in some weather before.
Right, and with the clothing they have now, Under Armour and everything, I just don't think it's going to be that big of a factor.
Okay, interesting. Yep, all right. Very good.
All right,
thank you, bud. Appreciate it. We'll take a break, wrap things up after this.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your party, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks. From Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hello, I'm Bud Blackie from J&P Auto Mart. Back in 2008, I transferred from the old Bud Mart to J&P Auto Mart. That's right, I've been at J&P Auto Mart selling pre-owned automobiles in Central PA for over 12 years.
J&P Auto Mart is Blair County's largest pre-owned auto outlet. Over 150 units to choose from. Experience with all types of credit and all forms of income. The creativity to get the deal done.
That's no joke. We're serious about putting you behind the wheel of a quality pre-owned vehicle. So come in and see me, Bud Blackie at J&P Auto Mart.
Apply online at jnpautomart.com or phone 944-5338.
The holidays are here, a time when family surrounds the dinner table and warm memories are created. Mel and Chris at Kepner's Grandview Meats help you to create the perfect Christmas table, rib roast centerpiece, fillets, tenderloin roast, or how about a beautiful standing rib roast? Mel, Chris, and their family wish you and your family the warmest holiday season. Follow the old paths to Kepner's Grandview Meats.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Shoe Fly. Your feet will thank you.
Ah, good show, man. These are such fun discussions. This is just like the NCAA tournament. I mean, really, when they expanded the playoff, I'm not sure that they realized how much chaos there could be with the human element and all that stuff, but they probably hoped for all of this discussion, all of this debate. This keeps your sport your topic in the limelight, in the national news. It's that old saying of any news is good news, even if it's controversy, even if it's people bitching all over the country. That's still good for the sport. That's still good for college football. That's still good for the playoff. All of us griping about whether the SEC is better than the Big Ten or not, and Indiana goes a long way. Have a good night, everybody.
96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.